to Train Your Pegasus, Chapter 3. The next day, Snowboat was awakened by the floor shaking as enormous taloned feet walked around the cave. She did her best to ignore the sensation and get back to sleep.
Pot Pie, wake up, Pot Pie. Time for your first lesson, said a voice.
Snowboat rolled away from the voice.
I said wake up.
The voice boomed. Snowboat found herself roughly scooped up and tossed a short ways, which did a good job of rousing her from her sleep. She landed on her side a few paces away with a soft oof. Rubbing the last of the sleepy out of her eyes, Snowboat saw that Scarlet was already rolling aside the boulder at the cave entrance. The dragoness looked back at Snowboat and beckoned for her to follow.
Come on, little Pot Pie, I haven't got all day.
Snowboat begrudgingly obliged, muttering to herself as she limped toward the cave's mouth. A part of her wished this dragon would just eat her already and be done with it, and spare her this humiliation.
Why are you doing this again?
Snowboat asked.
I am teaching you to fly, Pot Pie, so that you won't taste quite so suburban when I eat you.
Even assuming you can teach me to fly, what's to stop me from flying away once you do?
Snowboat quipped. Just outside the cave, Scarlet chuckled and patted the little Pegasus on the head as she passed.
I suppose there may be a few ponies in Equestria that have the speed to outfly a fully grown dragon, but you're not one of them, little Pot Pie. We'll cross that bridge if we come to it.
I'm hungry.
Snowboat complained, and it was true. The night before, she had eaten only leaves from the trees Scarlet had brought into the cave for firewood, which were unsatisfying, to say the least. Now her stomach was grumbling in protest and would not be silenced.
If you display satisfactory progress today, I shall feed you. If not, you go hungry.
Scarlet plopped down on the snowy incline to one side of the cave entrance, looking somewhat bored.
All right then, my little pony, show me what you can do.
Snowboat rolled her eyes and sighed. She spread her wings and gave a few half-hearted flaps.
Come on, Pot Pie, you're not even trying. If you want to eat today, I expect you to do much better than that.
Snowboat glared at Scarlet, then gritted her teeth and redoubled her flapping. A few wisps of snow wafted up from the ground, but her hooves remained solidly planted. Snowboat even attempted a little hop in an effort to get airborne, but failed miserably. After a moment, her flight muscles tired, and she stopped, panting. Scarlet nodded.
That was absolutely pathetic, Pot Pie. I think I've seen cows fly better than that. It's like you've never even tried to fly before.
Snowboat glared at Scarlet with absolute contempt, then looked down in sadness.
I didn't have any pony to teach me, okay?
Oh, here we go with the pity party again,
Scarlet said, rolling her eyes.
Oh, boo-hoo, my mother died. Boo-hoo, my legs are crippled. Boo-hoo, I'm going to be eaten by a dragon. I really do grow tired of your whining, Pot Pie.
Snowboat stamped her hoof in anger.
Look, it doesn't matter how hard I flap. I'll never get off the ground. My wings are too small. You can ask any pony.
Scarlet threw up her claws in frustration. Look, I don't know how ponies fly, but I do know how dragons fly. And by dragon standards, your wings are more than large enough. Personally, I don't see why you ponies always feel the need to go flapping around all the time anyways. It looks exhausting. Snowboat was about to make an angry retort, but she was suddenly intrigued by what Scarlet had said.
You mean dragons don't flap their wings when they fly?
Not if we can help it, anyways. Once we get up to altitude, we mostly use rising air currents instead. Sometimes it's necessary, of course. We have to flap a lot while hunting, or when it's necessary to prevent one's dinner from tenderizing itself prematurely. Scarlet patted her belly. We dragons are heavy with all this armor, you see. Flapping is a lot of effort. Snowbolt tilted her head to one side as she considered this.
But how can you fly without flapping?
It's called soaring, Potpie, and it's the first thing a young dragon learns. You just find a place where the air rises upwards, like right here. Scarlet pointed away from the mountain to the west. The wind is blowing from that direction. When it hits the mountain, it is forced to rise. If you were flying across this mountain, you would rise with it. Understand? Snowbolt was not at all sure that she did. Seeing her look of confusion, Scarlet rolled her eyes, then rolled over and got to her feet, making a big show of just how much effort this required. Just watch me, all right? And pay close attention. I don't want to have to show you more than once. Snowbolt watched as Scarlet walked over to the edge of the shelf, towards the windward side of the mountain. There was a noise, like a sail unfurling, as she spread her leathery wings. Then Scarlet walked off the edge of the shelf. She glided into the wind a ways, then let herself drift backwards and upwards, until she was hovering directly above Snowbolt, about 50 feet in the air.
"See, Potpie?" Scarlet called down. "No flapping required. If the air was still, I'd be gliding downwards and forwards. But since the wind here is flowing upwards and backwards, I can hover here if I wish. Understand?"
With her neck craned upwards, Snowbolt nodded. She thought she understood, but she was actually much more interested in the sight of Scarlet's massive wings stretching wide above her.
"Good," said Scarlet. "Now you try." Suddenly, Scarlet folded back her wings and dove towards Snowbolt. Snowbolt shrieked and tried to scamper away, but it was no use. Scarlet scooped up the little pony in her enormous claws and flew back into the wind, with Snowbolt struggling all the while.
"Ah!"
Snowbolt cried, struggling upside down in Scarlet's grasp.
"Stop your squirming, Potpie," said Scarlet, as she tried to keep the wriggling filly from slipping through her claws.
"Do you really want me to drop you?"
Snowbolt looked down and froze. They were already a few hundred feet above the face of the mountain, which was itself impossibly high above the valley floor. She cried, and instead of wriggling, wrapped her arms and legs around Scarlet's massive index finger. Scarlet sighed in exasperation.
"You won't learn to fly like that, pony. Now come on, I haven't got all day," she said, prying Snowbolt from her finger. "Look, just stand in my claw, will you? I promise no harm will come to you. Stand."
Snowbolt was set on her hooves in the palm of Scarlet's right claw, but her legs felt like jelly beneath her, and she promptly collapsed. At Scarlet's command, she stood again, and this time remained upright. She whimpered as she looked down at the empty expanse of air separating her from the valley floor below.
"Now, spread your wings," Scarlet commanded. Snowbolt did her best to obey, but her wings simply refused to unfold.
I can't,"
she shouted back to Scarlet. Tears began to roll down her face.
"Oh, for the love of—"
Scarlet said, exasperated. The dragon grabbed each of Snowbolt's wings in a pincer grip and manually pried them out until they were fully extended. She was now holding the young Pegasus by the wingtips, as one might hold a necklace. To Snowbolt, the sensation only compounded her terror, in part because there was no longer anything supporting her hooves, and in part because she knew the enormous dragon would have no trouble ripping her wings from her body if she so desired. Snowbolt was screaming in fright, but Scarlet ignored her. Now, I'm going to let you go, the dragon said.
No, no, please.
Snowbolt pleaded.
Keep your wings out, Pot Pie. Here we go.
And with that, the dragon released Snowbolt's wings and the young filly screamed. But instead of plummeting towards the valley floor below, she felt herself drop only a few feet, then hold position in mid-air. Snowbolt stopped screaming and gasped in shock. The sensation was like nothing she had ever felt before. She felt as if she were a marionette, suspended by her wings from an invisible puppeteer above. Behind her, Scarlet said something, but Snowbolt was so distracted that it took her a few seconds to realize that she had been addressed.
What?
Snowbolt shouted, not turning her head for fear of disrupting the delicate balance she had with the air.
I said, what are you doing with your legs? Tuck them under you.
Snowbolt realized that she had been furiously flailing her legs beneath her, as if she were running on an invisible patch of earth. She did as Scarlet commanded and tucked her legs beneath her body. A curious sensation overtook Snowbolt as she hovered there. Time seemed to slow down, and she suddenly became keenly aware of the sound of her own breath in her ears, the sensation of wind on her face, and most importantly, the feeling of being supported by her own two wings, held aloft by the rising wind as it rushed to go up and over the mountain. She became aware of the delicate equilibrium that existed between her wings and the air to hold her in place.
I'm flying. I'm actually flying.
No sooner than she had the thought, however, a slight shift in the wind disrupted the delicate balance, and Snowbolt lost control. She gave a little shriek as she spun away, but she was quickly caught by Scarlet's claw. Still hovering in the air herself, Scarlet brought the little Pegasus up to her face. She regarded Snowbolt with one giant, ruby-colored eye.
"Enjoyed that, did we?"
the dragon asked. Instead of answering, Snowbolt turned and looked back into the wind.
"Shall we try again?"
Scarlet asked. Snowbolt looked back and nodded emphatically. Scarlet spent the next few hours teaching Snowbolt how to hover in place. She hovered just behind the young Pegasus, her claws poised to catch Snowbolt if she lost control and spun out. As the morning wore on, this happened less and less often. Early in the afternoon, Scarlet decided that Snowbolt had made enough progress to warrant a small lunch break. The dragon used her hot breath to melt a patch of snow not far from the cave door, revealing a patch of minty mountain grass for Snowbolt to eat. Snowbolt quickly finished her meal, then stared at Scarlet patiently while she finished hers, eager to get back in the air. Learning to fly in this way seemed completely foreign to Snowbolt. There were virtually no Pegasi in Van Hoover, but her mother had told her about how she had learned to fly when she was a filly. Snowbolt gathered that most Pegasi learned to fly by simply standing in place and beating their wings. When their wings grew to the requisite size and strength, the Pegasi would lift off the ground under their own power, and that was that. The way Scarlet was showing her, the way she gathered all dragons learned to fly, was a completely different approach. As far as she knew, it was completely unknown to ponykind. By mid-afternoon, Snowbolt was almost completely comfortable with hovering in place, and had even learned to take off and land from the shelf on her own. By subtly shifting her weight and wing position, she learned to maintain a balance with the air under her wings and keep from spinning out. When Scarlet was satisfied that Snowbolt would not lose control and pulverize herself on the rocks, she allowed the little Pegasus to fly solo. Scarlet, meanwhile, kept one eye on her from the shelf below, idly munching on gems from an enormous golden bowl while reading a book that seemed microscopic in her enormous claws. The sun was low on the horizon when Scarlet finally insisted that the little Pegasus come in for the evening.
Aw, just 5 more minutes?
Scarlet put her hands on her enormous hips. Well, well, she said. It seems my little Pot Pie has found that flying agrees with her. Is this the same pony that was insisting just this morning that her wings were too small to fly? Snowbolt's pride was not wounded. She would gladly admit that her dragon captor had been right and she had been wrong. That was no longer important to her. The only thing that mattered now was getting back in the air by any means necessary. Snowbolt stared up at Scarlet, her eyes begging. Scarlet chuckled.
All right, little Pot Pie. 5 more minutes. Then I expect you to come into the cave on your own, without my having to come fetch you. Understood?
Yay!
Snowbolt answered. She galloped to the edge of the shelf, spread her wings, and leapt off. Scarlet, meanwhile, went back into the cave to resume her dinner preparations. Despite Snowbolt's promise to return to the cave on her own, 15 minutes later, Scarlet was forced to come and fetch the young Pegasus. Standing on the edge of the shelf, she reached up and plucked Snowbolt out of mid-air like an apple from a tree.
"Such a disobedient little Pot Pie," Scarlet said, tossing her into the cave.
Instead of landing roughly on the ground, Snowbolt spread her wings in mid-air and glided gracefully to the floor. She turned and grinned, a smug little grin at Scarlet.
"I suppose you're feeling pretty proud of yourself, aren't you, little Pot Pie?"
Scarlet said, rolling the boulder back in place at the mouth of the cave.
"It may interest you to know that young dragons learn to soar only a week or two after they're born. Your flying skills, as of now, do not even equal that of an infant dragon."
Scarlet's derision did nothing to hamper Snowbolt's euphoria. She pranced and danced and reared around the cave. She galloped from one side to the other, wings spread wide, making little zooming noises as she went.
"Dinner's nearly done, Pot Pie," Scarlet said after a while. "See if you can find a bowl or something to eat out of in there."
She gestured at the large pile of gold and gems in one corner of the cave. Snowbolt did as she was told, and after some rummaging managed to find an enormous golden goblet. The bowl part was almost large enough for her to fit in, but it was the smallest she could find. Scarlet took one last sip from her enormous spoon and, satisfied with the flavor, took the goblet from Snowbolt and filled it to the brim with a still boiling stew.
"You'll have to eat around the gems, I imagine," Scarlet said, setting the goblet down in front of Snowbolt.
Snowbolt sniffed at the brew suspiciously, then made a face.
"Eat up, Pot Pie," Scarlet commanded. "I'll not have my meat getting stringy."
Snowbolt had no spoons, so she took a sip from the enormous goblet's lip with a small slurping noise. Snowbolt said aloud. Scarlet stew, whatever it was, turned out to be delicious, at once sweet and savory. Snowbolt took another swig, awkwardly tipping the enormous goblet towards her with one hoof as she drank. Before long, both dragon and pony had had their fill. They both leaned back and rubbed their full bellies contentedly. Scarlet yawned and scratched.
"What do you think, Pot Pie? Any good?"
Snowbolt said with a smile.
"Would have been better with young Pegasus, though, don't you think? Give the broth a little more bite."
Snowbolt only shook her head. Scarlet's constant threats of consumption could only be taken seriously so many times before they started to lose their weight. And anyways, today Snowbolt had flown. Even the imminent threat of being devoured could not dampen her mood. Scarlet picked up her book again and went back to her reading. After Snowbolt was feeling not quite so full, she resumed her zooming around the cave floor. As the fire under the cauldron burned down to coals, Scarlet's yawning became more and more frequent. All right then, little pot pie. Time for bed. I may decide to eat you for breakfast, so try not to stay up too late, okay? And with that, Scarlet carefully put her book away, flopped down next to the fire, and was snoring just a few minutes later. Snowbolt, however, was not ready for sleep. She continued sprinting back and forth across the cave. Galloping at top speed, she discovered she could just barely get enough wind across her wings to allow for brief leaping glides. She kept this up for 15 whole minutes, but it was only when she tried to climb up the dragon's pile of gold in order to glide off that she finally awoke Scarlet from her slumber.
"Pot pie!" the dragon bellowed. "What in the world are you doing? Scurry, scurry, scurrying around all over the place! Why, I have a mind to gobble you up right now. Go to sleep."
Snowbolt slinked away, wearing a sheepish grin like a filly who'd been caught with her hand in the cookie jar. Reluctantly, she found her little bed of grass by the fire and lay down, giggling to herself all the while. When she eventually dozed off, she had the first flying dream she'd had in a long, long time.